right there. Hello. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I play that noise?
You're a bastard. Ow! Rick.
That doesn't bother me.
That bothers me.
Uh-oh, someone's high register is gone, and that someone is me. Hold on.
Can you hear that? Oh, man.
Okay, now listen, I'm not screwing with you. I'm playing it, but it doesn't bother me.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, I'm warning
you. Stop playing. Are you playing?
I'm warning you now. I'm going to play it for a second. Yeah, I can listen to that all day.
Oh, man, that hurts.
Hello, I'm deaf. I don't think it would bother Tim. I don't think Tim would even know we were playing it. Where did Smokey go? Smokey just left. I was getting ready to bring on Smokey from our sister station. He was going to bid us a
tearful... He has an actual job.
Going to bid us a tearful farewell. And now he's,
What is wrong with you?
It's this horrible sound thing. It's just, it's become...
I thought we got that out of our system.
Apparently not. Okay, there's two more here that I don't think we've played yet. Oh, we've already played that one. This may be the final one.
I'm not listening. I don't know what you're doing.
I can play up to four of these together at one time. Maybe if I put...
Get it out of your system. Play them all, and then let's move forward.
All right, what if I do these four...
My ear hurts now.
What if I play the high-pitched noise, the fingernails on a blackboard, the dentist drill, and a bird warble all at once?
Add in the whoopee cushion.
The sense of power that I am feeling right now cannot...
Cushion.
Okay, hold on.
Whoopee cushion and the high pitch.
Okay, hold on a second. Whoopee
cushion. And the
coughing. Okay, shh. That's gold. This is billion-dollar technology that CBS Radio's given me. Do you realize how great this is? I am actually here on a radio station trying to create the worst, most off-putting collection of sounds I possibly can.
This guy who called in earlier is why we love radio.
I'm actually using the company's own resources to create an audio collage that people don't want to hear. I'm being paid to do this. Oh, God. I'm just going to keep that queued up, so like at a moment's notice. I believe that is the new Connie Chung. So there you go. I think we've already got our end of show noise, too. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's... where the hell is my sounder for Mailman Chris? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, the Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up with you?
Oh, not too much.
All right. And so also joining us from FilmFeverRadio.com is our good friend Scott Daly.
Hello.
Hi, man. How you doing? All right. So now the reason I brought you guys both on together is because we're going to roll the top five here in a second. And the top five, Chris, was created by you. And as I always say, you know, if you are willing to do most of the work for us, we're willing to do almost anything in return. So as long as I don't have to expend any effort, because my effort is being spent on other things. I'm willing to do this top five. And so we have, Chris, this is your top five. It is the top five songs by a fictitious band. Is that correct?
Sort of. I introduced my son to Spinal Tap. He had heard some of the songs. We'd actually played it on Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
He'd never seen the movie.
Okay.
So I showed him the movie, I just realized how genius the movie is and how many other movies like it I have.
Wait, is this your troubled son?
Yes.
Good for you. He's finding something
right
positive.
Path.
Yeah, that's
finding
great.
Finding something to bond over.
And he's listening right now in the other room because he has today off school.
Because he's tied to a chair.
So, he actually helped me come up with some of the songs on this list, and I compiled it up, and I just realized that if I was making a top five fictional songs, I didn't really want to go fictional band, but fictional, you know, songs by fictional bands, Spinal Tap would be like three spots.
Well, Spinal Tap is sort of like when I had to do the Cheap Trick songs that weren't Surrender. You can't
exactly.
put Spinal Tap on a fictional band list because then it's like car songs, you have to exclude the Beach Boys.
Exactly. So I did the top five songs by fictional bands that are not Spinal
All right, Sarah, do you want to roll the top five open here?
I sure do.
So is this the top five songs or bands?
Top five songs.
Okay. Top five songs by a fictional band.
Excellent.
All right, ladies
five,
and gentlemen, here's your top
four,
five.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
well as counting is the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we now present, as created by Mailman Chris and as counted down by us, the top five songs by fictional bands that are not Spinal Tap. And because we're this is our last day in this studio, as of Monday, we'll be in a studio that has sufficient guest microphones. Today, I will be doing the countdown. Now, you have two honorable mentions here.
I do, because I chose two fictional bands that are comprised of fictional people.
All right, so we have honorable mention number one. Honorable mention number one by Deathlock.
Deathclock.
That's from Metalocalypse?
Yes.
Have you seen Metalocalypse?
I have not,
it's
but everybody
show.
Tells me to watch it. This is Thunder Horse. I like this already. I like what we're hearing. Now, I've never seen Deathclock or Metalocalypse or whatever. You'll have to tell me a little bit about this.
It's an Adult Swim cartoon show. It runs, right now it's running every night, but it typically runs on Sunday nights. There was 20 11-minute episodes in the first season, and it's about a death metal band that's like, they described it as Spinal Tap meets Scooby-Doo meets Norway.
Fantastic.
And it literally is, they're the 11th largest financial power in the world. So they're the biggest band in the world, you know. They delay an album and people start committing suicide.
Fantastic. So this is something I should be watching.
Absolutely.
It's right up your alley, right?
All right. We have honorable mention number two, which is, ladies and gentlemen, the Cantina song from Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
God, you guys are all nerds.
1977. Now, you said there's an actual other name for this song.
The song actually has a title called Mad About Me. And the band name is Sigrun Dan and the Modal Modes.
And is that... Now, how do we know that that is... And I say this knowing that there is an answer. How do we know that that is the real name of the Cantina band?
There's actually... There was a series of stories put together. They're like short stories, a compilation of short stories.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one whole story called We Don't Do Weddings. And it's all about that band.
So...
Awesome.
By the way, you'll be interested to know this. I was talking to our friend Metal Chris last night. And he is reading this Star Wars novel, which takes place at... It is a sequel to Revenge of the Sith. And so it follows Anakin in his first days, having been transformed into Darth Vader. And I swear to God, this is true. I swear to God, the book goes into detail about his colostomy bag as Darth Vader and how it is that his bowels function, having been put into the big metal and plastic suit.
Answering the questions we all want to know.
Okay, but no one wants to know that. I don't want to hear about Darth Vader having to go in a sack. It's not something, I mean, I understand that he's pissed off all the time, and maybe that's why. But I don't want to hear about Darth Vader and how his unit doesn't work anymore, and he's got to, where his business has to go.
Vader's got to go.
All right. Vader got to go. All right, we're counting down the top five songs by fictitious bands. Number five, from Steel Dragon. This is Stand Up. Oh, this is from Rockstar.
Oh, my God.
This is a great song.
Horrible movie.
It's a terrible film, but it's enjoyable.
Well, and it's the movie itself has, it's all real musicians.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the cameos and the bands are all played by real people. Zach Wilde and, Jeff Pilson from Dokken.
Uh-huh.
And,
I think what makes this particular movie so great is that we've all had that fantasy, you know, to be plucked by our idols and to go on stage with them and just rock.
Well, and of course, it's based on a true story. It's
right,
based on the story of Tim Owens, who was in this Judas Priest tribute band and then got picked to replace Rob Halford for several years and several albums, which is fantastic. This guy who's singing, the guy who is singing here that is supposedly Mark Wahlberg, is the guy who is the lead singer of Steelheart.
Mike Mativic.
Mike Mativic. And Steelheart, who was known for that, I'll never let you go, that song that everybody calls Angel Eyes. This is a pretty great movie, actually.
I'll try not to ruin it for you, but the one indifferent thing about this song? Do you know who wrote this song?
No.
Sammy Hagar.
Really?
Okay. Sammy Hagar wrote this song.
I don't dislike Sammy Hagar.
I thought you were going to say Rob Halford.
No, I mean, he's not my cup of tea, but I am not. I don't hate Sammy Hagar. I got nothing. I have love for Sammy.
He makes a damn fine tequila.
All right, counting down the top five songs by a fictitious band, number four, On the Dark Side, from Eddie and the Cruisers. Eddie and the Cruisers, are you kidding me? That's fantastic.
I almost wanted to put it higher. It holds up so well.
Let's actually just stop for a second and listen to this. Let me just play. I'm going to play this from the top. And I'll take Couldn't Get Springsteen for 1,000. And this is John Cafferty, the Beaver Brown Band. I've never seen Eddie and the Cruisers 2. Has anybody here seen that?
Unfortunately, yes.
Really? Is it terrible?
It's horrible.
And the best part is, your tone of voice indicates that you knew going in it was horrible, and yet there you were anyway.
When I spent some time in the video store, my coworkers insisted on watching that almost daily.
Eddie and the Cruisers 2?
Yes.
Not even the first one?
No.
Let's watch. It's like watching Weekend at Bernie's 2.
You know, we got to trade off back and forth, and they always picked this one.
Why would they pick number two?
I don't know. I said, let's go with the good one. Let's go with number one. But no, we had to watch number two.
Of the tens of thousands of films in the world, that they would pick Eddie and the Cruisers 2 to
and
watch.
I always put a movie in to get people who maybe an obscure film.
Were they just
maybe
trying to get customers out of the store?
Maybe. I don't know. But it's like, dude, put something in that people want to say, hey, what's this? Oh, I think I'll rent it. No, yeah. Never happened with Eddie and the Cruisers 2. We always got through the whole thing.
Well, it was always there to be played.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, totally. It was never gone. It's the one thing that's guaranteed to be there.
Only one copy.
No, this song, this is the highest ranking song on the list. It actually, on the top 40, number 7.
Yeah, and he was a struggling musician, and this was kind of his big break.
This was the only thing they ever did was stuff for Eddie and the Cruisers.
And he's like Los Lobos and La Bamba, where they really regretted doing that. It was their big breakthrough, but then it immediately pigeonholed them. Counting down the top 5 songs by a fictitious band, number 3, that's what I'm talking about.
There we go.
You Do by The Wonders.
What an amazing song this is.
What a great movie. A nearly flawless film.
Yeah, you know, but this song, as many times as they play this in the film,
I'll never get tired of this. I have listened to this song probably 100,000 billion times. I've never gotten tired of this, ever. This is one of the best pop songs of the last 50 years.
Who wrote this song?
A guy named Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne.
Okay. Oh, really?
The Stacey's Mom guy.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the singer is a guy named Mike Viola from a group called the Candy Butchers.
Yeah, who are pretty good their own selves.
It's a great song.
They had a contest. I mean, a contest is the wrong way to put it. But, I mean, Tom Hanks kind of threw the doors open. He's like, we're looking for the song. He's like, everybody send us. He's like, this is the title. That Thing You Do, it has to sound like a 60s pop song. Go.
Wow.
And they got hundreds of submissions. There's an alternate version of this song that closes out the film, plays over the closing credits.
Yeah.
The great thing is that all the movies that Tom Hanks has produced since then, the soundtracks come out on the Playtone label.
Records,
he actually has Playtone Records as a company.
Well, and his production company is actually just called Playtone.
Yeah. I love this film. It is just the most charming. I mean, it sounds so fruity, but it's the most charming, beautiful, sweet little film. I mean, it just is a movie that you watch it and you just feel good. You know, it's the Viso of films.
When you're flipping through the channels, you know, and it's on, you just have to watch it.
If
it's on CBS with commercial breaks, I don't care.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's just, and this song is so perfect. This song is perfect. There's nothing wrong with this song. It's flawless. I'm just going to let this end. Doing that thing they do. Counting down the top 5 songs by a fictitious band. Number 2 from Oh Brother Where Art Thou. The Soggy Bottom Boys. I'm a man of constant sorrow.
Boy, this is a great song by itself. But
the whole soundtrack is fantastic.
It's a great soundtrack. But the best part about this scene in the film when they're recording into the tin can with Steven Steve Root, the blind producer. The expressions on Clooney's, John Turturro's, and Tim Blake Nelson's voice as they're singing this song is priceless. The facial inclinations are amazing.
I saw this tour. I saw the Down from the Mountain tour that had a lot of the bands that were on the soundtrack. I am not a Coen Brothers fan. Everybody kind of knows that. I mean, they're good at what they do. It's not my cup of tea. But I mean, the look of this film and then the soundtrack were so beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm like everybody else. It didn't matter that the film wasn't necessarily for me. The soundtrack was enough to win me over.
Amazing.
I think for a while the soundtrack actually earned more money than the movie did.
I think it probably still does. This soundtrack really, really reintroduced bluegrass to a lot of people in America. And not like I'm some big bluegrass historian or whatever, but I mean, my parents listened to a lot of kind of like twangy country and whatnot growing up, but you never really heard it in the mainstream after, you know, the 50s, 60s, you know, until this movie came back out.
Hearing the song, I want to go back out and distill some moonshine.
And I got David Lee Roth something to do after his radio show went off the air.
Totally.
He started touring doing Van Halen bluegrass hits.
Oh, that's the worst thing I've ever seen.
And Rick, you've noticed I let that Coen Brothers comment
flip. No, they're really, really good at what they do. The movies are not for me. The Coen Brothers films are not my cup of tea. Counting down the top five fictitious songs by a real songs by a fictitious band. Number one. Sarah's nodding her head because she knew all along this would be number one.
It had to be.
Fever Dog by...
It has to be.
But wait, hold on a second. I used to be able to do that intricate. From Troy, Michigan, Stillwater! And stuff.
This one, the water, a little bit longer maybe. But it's great.
Was this song written by Peter Frampton and Nancy Wilson, or am I making that up?
No, it was Cameron Crowe and Nancy Wilson.
Cameron Crowe and Nancy Wilson.
Yeah, Peter Frampton helped out with some of the guitar licks on the song.
Yeah.
But the songs, the majority of the songs... Well, it's great because there was a band in the 70s called Stillwater.
I saw their Wikipedia entry, actually, a while back. They were kind of a psychedelia band.
Yeah, they had one hit called Mindbender, and Cameron Crowe licensed the name of the band and all their music for inclusion in the film, just so he could get the name. And then never used any of their music, just wrote his own music with his wife.
I think what the world needs now is a new Cameron Crowe film. We're overdue for one, don't
seriously.
You?
Seriously. Even because a bad Cameron Crowe film is still better than almost anything.
Exactly.
I'm thinking about Elizabethtown, I have problems with, but it's still such a fantastic. And I got to tell, I mean, and Almost Famous, everybody knows how I feel about that movie. That again, is a movie that is like 99.5% flawless. I mean, it's just... That movie just should be sealed inside a gold time capsule and just shot into space for every life form everywhere to watch. This is a great song, too. This sounds... I mean, it's obvious to say it sounds like Zeppelin, but I mean, this song, if you told me this was a song from 1976, I would believe you. I mean, the production, everything is flawless.
Chris, I have to tell you, this is
a great list,
my friend.
Well done, sir.
Impressive. Yeah,
thank you. You know, it's hard to get back to the horrible sounds after listening to all these great songs, but
yes.
those sounds were just, oh, God. Did you play The Weekend Geek?
No, that's a horrible sound in and of itself, actually, because Aaron's mic kept shorting out, so it's a lot of...
if you can throw the Weekend Geek in there somewhere in the next hour, or the next, I guess, 4.5 hours, then that'll be everything,
Scotty,
and you got everything on your list.
I'll see if I can do that.
Ooh, a little extra tease there. How are you feeling, Chris, from last weekend?
Hey, I am feeling great. I told Scotty you guys should have done the vomit sound right after the male person in your neighborhood, and then that vomit sound from your worst sound.
Yeah, it was... the vomit sound is bad. All right, Mailman Chris, well done on the top five, sir.
Thank you.
All right. That's Mailman Chris. Let's take this call, then we'll break, and we'll come back with Tim Riley and more from Scott Daly, Film Fever Radio. John, hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey,
got a question for Scott about the Coen Brothers movie Hudsucker Proxy.
Yes, one of my favorites.
Mine, too, except for there's this one odd section that scares me because I don't understand what it means, and that's that whole center section where he falls to his desk and there's this ballet dancing. Do you have any rhyme or reason why that's there?
I've never seen the Hudsucker Proxy, so I can't.
You actually kind of cut out. What point in the film? Underneath his desk?
He falls asleep on his desk, and he ends up having this ballet dream. And I got completely
lost. Are you thinking the Big Lebowski where he dreams about that big Bubsy Berkeley dance number with the bowling pins and stuff?
No, I've seen that one too, but no, this is Hudsucker. It's Tim Robbins.
And Jennifer Jason Leigh.
And he's not dancing with her. I got nothing.
Oh, yeah, John, well, hold on. I can tell that you're vexed by it. I can tell that it's really been, that it's been bothering you.
I'm sorry it's bothered you this much. I do remember that scene. And my only explanation for that is the Coen brothers love the old musicals of yesteryear. And okay. whenever they get a chance to include that in their films, they take every opportunity. Generally, it's in a dream sequence, but it kind of showed his innocence, kind of being from Muncie, Indiana, you know, go Eagles and that kind of thing. So I think it kind of went along with his character being innocent and being corrupted by the big corporate world of Hudsucker Industries.
All right, thank you, John.
Thank you.
I'd like to leave you with this. All right, there you go. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from our sister station, 98.7 KUPL, the biggest hits. New Country, 98.7 KUPL, the biggest hits, the biggest stars.
You know the slog.
I'm sure I can find...
That's the hell I'm doing.
Country song.
Do we have a country song that we can play? Fantastic.
You know what? In case you were wondering why I left a few minutes ago, is because I saw my boss in there. So I'm in your studio hanging out, and then all of a sudden I saw John Paul over there.
Man.
So I, well, you know, he's cool.
You're what holds this station together. You're the glue. You're the indispensable man, my friend.
He's the smoky glue.
So, Smoky. So,
we're sad to see you go.
So this is our last day in the studio. As of Monday, we are broadcasting from the other building, from down on First Avenue.
Yeah.
The Rick Emerson Studios.
The place is a dump.
Well, we're going to add some sparkle to it, though. We're going to bring some panache.
I know you guys have a new studio in there, but the rest of the place is kind of...
You know, Rick Emerson is a team player, and these statements do not represent the view of the Rick Emerson Show in any way. Rick Emerson is grateful for whatever space they give him to work in.
Hey, Smokey, now you're going to be back to being able to stare at nobody in here.
And some of us, by the way, haven't had the same gig for like 14 years.
12.
Okay, 12. Some of us are afraid of being fired every single day.
Yeah.
So some of us are not going to talk about the condition or dumping anywhere or what's a dump. No, some of us are never going to make those observations, Smokey, because we're on board.
We don't have a thing called job security.
Seriously. Well, when I took this job, Lee Rogers was our program director, and he called me up. I lived in Phoenix, and he said, do you want the job? And I said, do you want a job?
Yeah.
And I said, well, what does the place look like? I've never even seen a picture of Portland, Oregon.
And you were where?
Arizona.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, it's a nice place. It's a brand new facility.
What do you want?
I go, well, can I at least come up? All right, I'll have somebody call and get you some flight information. But,
and then were you impressed when you got here?
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Well,
it's a nice place.
It's been nicer with us here, and now we're going to be gone.
It's going to be sad, actually, because I've never worked around talk radio before, and it's like, it's real radio going on here. I can't hear anything, so what are you doing?
I'm playing tearful music for our farewell, just so you know, because this is our last day here. Now, the audience isn't going to be able to hear a difference, theoretically speaking, but we will be a great ways away. So we'll come back to visit occasionally.
Will you?
No. No, what are you, high?
Give me
no, we're out of here, dude. We're never coming
back.
We'll
just read about each other's eventual fiery.
Can we have a hug?
You know how I feel.
They're hugging. Come on, Rick.
Does Rick smell? Smokey, does he smell?
I wish we had a webcam.
He actually smells good.
Oh.
Really? Oh, man. You know, that Arm & Hammer
speech. Rick's getting a little blushy.
Well, here's the thing. I told Sarah this morning before the update. Did you ever just, and this probably didn't happen
to you. Did you enjoy your man hug?
Yes, I did. Because Smokey smells of
lilacs. Smokey, I don't get a hug.
Yeah, and Winston's.
No. This morning, though, do you ever do this? Do you ever work and you kind of turn and you turn and you sort of create your own breeze when you turn and you get kind of a whiff of yourself and you realize that you just smell bad? That was me this morning, and I had to here's what I had to do this morning. I had to go to my office and break out the secret antiperspirant that I keep in my desk drawer.
You wear women's deodorant?
No, not secret, like strong enough man, like secret, like no one knows about. Yeah, the secret. I had to break out the Summer's Eve, whatever. No, the, yes. I had to break out the Dove underarm. No, but I keep it stashed in my drawer, and it's like a secret cache of that. And I'm like, picking up my, under that, and now I smell perfect, apparently.
I wish you'd stop talking.
Smokey, I think Sarah wants a hug.
All right. Let's go to break.
Smokey didn't give me a hug.
We're breaking now. It's 503-7. The whole program is descending into anarchy. It's just anarchy today. Take the hug elsewhere. We'll be back after this. It's 503-733-2970. Rick Emerson program. Back after this. Like it's a 3, Donna Mike at 7. Here's the 4. But don't go anywhere. Part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson radio program. I'm not going to play the whole week in geek, but I will play just this little tiny bit. This, I believe, should count. And here's why it'll count, because it would be inappropriate for me to play the entire thing, because the sound quality is, it's as Aaron himself would admit, it's simply not up to snuff. Which he notes himself at the beginning of the segment. So we'll get to that in just a few. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Brand new dead body found near Wilsonville. This is along the I-5. And reportedly found in the rear parking lot of the rest area south of Wilsonville. We don't know that much about it at this time. Meanwhile, a 17-year-old arrested. After he brought a gun onto Benson High School today, they found him at the Fred Meyer that was in the neighborhood. No gun was found on him, though. Meanwhile, Jennifer Aniston, very upset at her plastic surgeon, Dr. Raj Gahundia, who lives in Beverly Hills, furious that he spoke in an article in Us Weekly entitled Jen's Secret Nose Job. Magazine claims Aniston underwent rhino pastries in his office on January 20th.
Oh, because she had that bump on her nose.
Yeah. Everyone have a good weekend. That's all the important news there is at the moment.
And we're done. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, world's greatest newsman. There you go. Thank you, sir.
Hi, Tim.
Thank you. All right. I'm just going to play a little bit of the Week in Geek so you can hear why I'm not playing the whole thing, and then I will be done with my obligations. Listen to this.
I was ready to give up this week. No Week in Geek. With annoying technical issues like this click. Annoying, isn't it? I was sadly content with not.
That's
creating.
The music from
yeah.
Too Soon.
It's the Chasing Amy music. Yeah,
oh, you should play it.
But listen to this beginning.
I was ready to give up this week. No Week in Geek. With annoying technical issues like this click. Annoying, isn't it? I was sadly content with not creating a Week in Geek. Until you, the fans, asked, pleaded, nay, demanded a Week in Geek. And so, with one day left.
No. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We're here with Scott Daly, filmpeopleradio.com. All right. So you have seen, is it Smoke and Aces?
Smoke and Aces.
Yeah. Which sounds like some sort of a Burt Reynolds car chase film.
Yeah, you know, it's...
Is this the weird Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels looking thing?
Yeah, exactly what it is. It's got a big cast. Well, not a big cast. It promotes the star being Ben Affleck, but really he's only in it for a very short time. Right. The real star of the film is Jeremy Piven, who I am glad to see is finally getting his just desserts. He's great. I really like him. He plays a Vegas magician who kind of works for the mob, and he is about to ready to testify against the mob and is protected by the FBI agent Ray Liotta. And Alicia Keys plays a hit person, a hit woman, who's out who hired to go out and kill him. There's like four other hitmen going out after her to kill him. You get the basic gist. It's really violent, really bloody. It's a fun movie. It's not great. But yeah, you watch it and you got to get
a Lock,
Stock, and Smoking Barrels feel to it.
So stylized as
a film. It's like they're really trying to repeat the indie ultra-violent films of the 90s and it just doesn't work. Right. It's a fun film. It's not great, but you know. And wait for DVD. I wouldn't recommend this video, but it's fun. You know, it's a guy. It's a man on film.
Anything else come out on DVD this week? Anything I need to care about?
Not DVD this week, no.
All I know is that Saw 3 came out, which I never saw.
Yeah,
I
really. I want to say that this week on Film Fever Radio, we recorded our show for the very first time live at Tony Starlight.
Oh, right. How did that go?
It went really well. We had an Oscar discussion. We ran down our Oscar nominees and our little picks and who we think will win, who should win. And I do want to remind everyone that tomorrow night is Tony Starlight's Triumph Return to the Stage. He is doing
his
show as a performer who's doing a show at Tony Starlight Supper Club and Lounge tomorrow night. He did a little test run last night. My lovely Maxine and I went, and it was a great, great time. Glad to hear all the old tunes and some new stuff back. So that was a lot of fun. But this week's episode of Film Fever Radio is all about Oscars. And I am very sad to announce that due to the technical issues that you just heard on geekinthecity.com, the Tombstone commentary is lost and gone forever.
It might be just as well.
I think
so. Too soon. Too soon. Too much. Too much scotch.
And so, yeah, so we will not, unfortunately, we will not have the Tombstone commentary. We might go back and revisit
just
it later.
Just in your head, imagine Scott drunkenly going, this isn't very good at all. You're just stupid. And then, like, and then the sound of Diana vomiting.
Oh.
That's it.
Why are you punishing me not playing my Too Soon Thunder?
I'll play it later.
What's the bummer about this is that this is the first Film Fever commentary that we didn't lose one, but two people.
Yeah. Chris wasn't able to stand after a while either.
But sadly, it's like we have. But we're going to keep the Die Hard one up, and I think we're going to repost the Wrath of Khan just because people seem to demand it.
That's a gold standard.
Yes, indeed.
Shannon, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi. I was calling because the AM970 website doesn't have a store, and I was wondering where to get a T-shirt.
You're saying that if these things were available, you would pay your hard-earned cash for them.
Well, yeah, maybe, depending on the price, but...
Oh, I see. So you're kind of a loyal listener. All right,
well,
okay.
I'm a cheap person. I'm sorry, but I just don't like to spend much money.
No, I feel you. You don't want to pay, like, $20 for a T-shirt. I mean,
of course she does.
She'd pay 40.
These are quality shirts. She'd pay 70.
Oh, yeah, quality cloth.
Did you use a man when Phil Henry was on the air? Those bowling shirts he sold were like $89.
Yeah, those were.
I was going to buy one of those, too, like a Ted's of Beverly Hills. Was like $85.99. And I was like, F that. So, no, we're actually, the website's being revamped. And I know a lot, everybody always says that about everything, but it actually is. It's being redesigned, and people have been asking about shirts and other swag, as they say. So that will be part of it. So keep watching. Solid State. It's actually 970.am or solidstateradio.am, and
yeah,
that will be added at some point in the near future.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, there you go. Let's see. Rick, besides torturing your faithful listeners, you should pick one of these noises, like the morphing baby chicken, or the one that sounded like the panty sniffer with a heavy cold, and say that guy with the... and save it for someone's computer. Then set it up as the Windows startup noise. A friend of mine had this done to him with a recording that yelled, "I love porn," repeatedly. Optimally, the person's computer speakers will have been secretly turned all the way up. The person will freak out and scramble around trying to turn it off, and hopefully will lose any respect they may have earned from the people within earshot. All right, fantastic.
This is best in an office.
It's true. Let's see. Oh, I mentioned the thing about a fly stuck in your mini blinds. There's so many observations.
Styrofoam.
Yeah, there's so many
observations.
See, is it packing peanuts? Is that what you're saying?
Packing
when people
peanuts
like,
with styrofoam that's packed in boxes for TVs or computers. Just the sound of the squeaking of it together. Just, it gets under my skin. It just kills me. That's probably the worst sound.
Let's see. We've got Elsa, though. People are now sending in their requests. They are sending in their requests. For horrible noises, which we will not do. We're not going to pursue that any further.
Ship has sailed.
Let's see here. What am I doing? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, Mailman Chris, who was here a while back for the top five and has now joined us to recap today's program. Hello, sir.
Best show ever, my friend.
Well, I do what I can.
You know, and all in all, an excellent week. You ended with everything that actually had a negative one.
Bam! Which
that means we should get
Scotty
Mr.
J. That means that Scotty J needs to be joining us now in the...
I want to see Scotty J.
I can't wait for him in charge of the
sound. Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack!
All right, so now we should note this. When we moved to the new studio, which is Monday, Monday's our first day at the Rick Emerson Studio East, I am going to be in charge of some sound effects. Sarah will be in charge of other sound effects. And Tim, for the first time in a long time, will be in charge of his own news cut. So we'll see if the show goes more smoothly.
I think that you shouldn't have the ability to play sound anymore.
Well, Tim, as long as Scotty doesn't have the power to play anything.
Why shouldn't I have the ability to play sound?
You are so unlikable.
Hi, Scotty.
I won't be joining you on Monday.
No, you won't. You'll be here. We should break that news. I was hoping that
Scotty's in control of the phone on and off button. It's a very big responsibility.
No, it is. It's important. It's important.
To who?
Well, to us.
Okay.
To whom? So Monday, Sarah and Tim and I will be broadcasting the location. But it's only temporary. It's for 1 week only.
I'll do this if you give me control over the sounders.
It's a trial separation.
I don't think so, little man. We would never be able to talk.
Seriously, there'd
Scotty
be,
would be,
there'd
going
be no
crazy.
Room left for the poor program.
Bagpipes all day.
No, it's a 1 week.
24/7 bagpipes.
It's a trial separation, Scott.
All bagpipes all the time.
You're going to be here for 1 week running the phones
on
this end.
You're listening to the smooth sounds of bagpipes.
Don't laugh. It just encourages him.
We're running out of time. Let's get him on the floor.
Okay, Scotty.
All right. What? How many?
I believe it's just one.
Oh,
one. No.
It's one. He's at negative.
I know, but
we got to be straight up about it. It's one.
All right. I want to see one perfect. Your arms at a 90-degree angle.
You can't do a girly push-up either. Next week, by the way, we're going to find out how
back
it is
straight.
You
now put those legs together. Put the feet together.
Scott's a Marine.
Butt down. There you go. Now, all the way down.
You
there
Marine.
You go. That was a good
push-up. Scott's totally in shape. He's not going to have a
look
problem.
Look at those push-ups.
All right.
Rick,
look
that's how you do a push-up, my friend.
He is just showing off.
Oh, see, he's showing off for the lady.
All right, next.
His face isn't bright red.
Next week.
He's not even winded.
Next week,
yes,
though.
I am.
Next week, we're going to find out from the suburban perspective. We will find out about Mrs. J and the courtship of Mrs. J and her conversion from Democrat to Republican. Yeah, so there you go. So that's coming up next week. All right, Scotty, thank you.
I can't wait to hear the story of how they met.
It's going to be very exciting. There you go. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
To you as well. Again, great job on the top five. All right. So we got Likas next. Don and Mike at 7. John and Jeff at 11. Don't forget tomorrow, the Fuel Show with Dennis Pitzenbarger, 9 to 11 a.m. Tomorrow at 4 p.m. The Timnasium with Tim Savage and Sarah Wagner. And then, of course, Monday, we will be in the brand new studios, which are down the street. So that is coming up Monday as we move to the Rick Emerson Studios East. In the meantime, check out filmfeverradio.com.
Yes, sir. We're gonna start revamping the website. We're gonna make the website a little more interactive. Right now, all you can do there is download our goofiness. But we're gonna make things up. So,
awesome.
FilmFeverRadio.com Mark 2 is coming soon. But right now, you can still enjoy the first one. But yeah,
cool.
our episode this week is recorded live at Tony Starlight Supper Club and Lounge, and it's all about the Oscar nominations announced this week.
Excellent. All right, the Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, PA is Scotty J, and the manager of the Rick Emerson Office East is Dave Zinn. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Jim Roop and Bob Costantini. As always, my friends, be safe. Have a good weekend. Don't let the bastards grind it down. We will see you all Monday. Thanks for listening. Bye.